Good evening. Tonight's shiur is dedicated Le'ilei Nishmas Shaul Yecheskel Ben Avraham Eliyahu HaKohen and Fruma Bas Yishaya Tehein Nishmosim Tzrura B'Tzror HaChayim. This week's parasha is Shlach. Normally, Shlach prepares us for Tammuz, but this year, Shlach is the Shabbos after the Yemei HaTashlumin of Shavuos. We know that Shavuos has Tashlumin, just like Pesach and Sukkot do, days that we can be mashlim, we can make up in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Gashmi, so we're able to bring Karbonos. Until today, till Yud Beis Sivan was today, which means until now, till this very day, we're still under the Roisham of Shavuos, and even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash as of yet, the Ruchnius, Shavuos was with us until this very moment. And being that this week began with the Yemei HaTashlumin of Shavuos, as mentioned many times, until the parasha, until Shabbos is over, it's still considered the Yom Tov. The Yom Tov really didn't end yet. The Yom Tov ended really today. Today was the Yemei HaTashlumin, Yud Beis Sivan. And therefore, we can still try to extend the Yom Tov of Shavuos with us until after this Shabbos. Ki yodua, that any time a Yom Tov falls out during the week, it extends till after the Shabbos afterwards. So what's unique about this year, being a leap year, is that Shlach, this parasha ends up being incorporated into the Yom Tov of Shavuos, although the Cha'era, this parasha is the parasha that talks to us about the Yerida, the terrible downfall of Klal Yisrael, which led to the Golus, eventually, as the Baal HaTurim says, hinted in the word Shlach, Shin Lamed Ches, that was the year, Gimel Shin Lamed Ches, 3338, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, based on the Pasuk in Tehillim and Kuv Vav, where it says that because of the Chet HaMeraglim, and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael, eventually this leads to the future Goliyos. Nevertheless, this year, because it's a leap year, we incorporate Shlach, because it's a leap year, and Noso was read before, as mentioned in the previous week, so we have Shlach still under the Roisham of Shavuos, because this is the week of the Yemei HaTashlumin. The parasha begins, Shlach Lecha Anoshim. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, send for yourself. Meaning, as Rashi says, I'm not telling you to do this. Ani eini mitzavelach. This is not a tzivui. You're doing this on your own. Hashem was upset with the request to send spies, but he gave permission. But it was not a tzivui, which again has not is lecha'era, the opposite. Shavuos is the Yom Tov in which we receive tzivuyim. And if we follow those tzivuyim, we can't go wrong. This was not a tzivuy. This was not a command. It wasn't a mitzvah. It was just a reshus. And therefore, there was bechira. And 10 of the meraglim chose not to follow the directives of Moshe Rabbeinu. So lecha'era, this parasha, which normally is Shabbos Mevarchim Tammuz, fits more in the month of Tammuz, which is the month of Churban. But this year we have to try to find a connection between this parasha and Shavuos, being that the Yemei HaTashlumin were this week. What's that connection? Rashi asks at the beginning of the parasha what Chazal asks, Lama nismacha parashas Meraglim leparashas Miriam. Why is the parasha of Meraglim juxtaposed? Why is this parasha taught right after the story of Miriam? And all the Mefarshim ask, well, where else should it have been taught? It's in order. This is when it happened. It happened L'cha'ira, right after Maisa Miriam. Says the Maharal, the Gur Aryeh, that the request to send Meraglim was already before. They wanted to send Meraglim not long after they left Mitzrayim. As the Pasuk says in Devarim, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, Nishlecha Anoshim Lefaneinu, V'yachperu Lanu Es Ha'oretz. That was already before. Hashem does not say to Moshe, Shlach Lecha Anoshim, until right after the story of Miriam. That's what Rashi is asking. Lama Nismucha Parshas Meraglim LeParshas Miriam, even though historically that's when that happened, the question is why? Lama Nismucha, why does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu first now, okay, if they want to send spies, send them now, right after the story of Miriam? The reason is, as Rashi says, so that they should learn a lesson from what happened to Miriam. Based on that, perhaps we can delve into another connection between the story of Miriam and the Meraglim, and its connection to Shavuos, to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The Gemara tells us concerning Shavuos, the Gemara says in Psachim, Daf Samach Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Hakol Moedim Ba'atzeres De'Beino Nami Lochem. Everyone agrees when it comes to the Yom Tov of Shavuos that we have to rejoice bodily. The Gemara has a discussion there whether one is allowed to fast on Shabbos, whether one is allowed to fast on another Yom Tov, and there's a machlokes. All the other Yomim Tovim can be spent half LaHashem or half Lochem or Kulei LaHashem. But Hakol Moedim, everyone agrees when it comes to Shavuos, the Be'inon Nami Lochem. Everyone agrees that not only do you have to daven and learn, of course, on Shavuos and be involved in the spiritual world, everyone agrees though the Be'inon Nami Lochem. That means you have to also give your body enjoyment. Lochem means for your own personal needs, to eat and to drink and to feast. The body has to also enjoy the Yom Tov of Shavuos. As Rashi there says, that we have to rejoice because it was the day that the Torah was given, and if we would not feast, then it would seem like as if perhaps we're not happy with the Torah. And the Mefarshim ask, but why do we have to rejoice bodily? So dance, be happy. Who says you have to eat and drink though? Shavuos is the Yom Tov that we were given, the Luchos. We weren't given food and drink, we were given the Luchos. It was a spiritual Yom Tov. Pesach, we were redeemed bodily, we have to eat matzah. Sukkos, we're supposed to eat in the Sukkah, but Shavuos L'cha'ir is a Yom Tov that should be only associated with Ruchnius. So what does the Gemara mean when it says, Hakol Moedim Ba'atzeres Deb'ino Nami Lachem? And the idea is that Hihanoisenes, the Torah was not given in order that we should separate from this world, which is a mistake that many think that being the ultimate Jew is someone who doesn't eat and doesn't drink and totally separates from this world. No, that's not why the Torah was given. The Torah was given, as mentioned many times, to us, the Torah was given that we should elevate the Gashmius. The Torah was given dafka lamata, dafka down here on earth. The Torah was not given up there in the heavens. Loi bashamayim hi. As the sugya in the Gemara in Shabbos that talks about Matan Torah, b'shosha olam moshe l'moraim. So the Malachim said, why are you giving the Torah to a human being? Give it to us. T'no heidecha al hashamayim. The Malachim perceived that the Torah is ruchnius, it's chachmosai shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So where should it be given? It should be given Lamayla, it should be given in the spiritual worlds. The Torah is Kulay Ruchnias. And Moshe Rabbeinu answered the Malachim. Hashem tells him to answer them. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, do you have a Yetzahara? Kabe Esavicha V'yesimecha Klum Yesh Lochem Avoeim. And so on. The Torah was given dafka lamata, the Torah was given to human beings who have a Yetzahara, who have a human body, who have desires, and have to eat and drink, and have to be involved in the physical aspects of this world. But the purpose of the Torah was given to us down here to elevate the Gashmias dafka, to elevate the physical world, to deal with Arzius, to deal with Eretz. Pasuk says, Bereishis bara Elokim eis hashamayim v'eis ha'oretz v'ha'oretz hoysa soyhu v'avoyu v'choshech al p'nei sahayim. Eretz can be toyhu v'avoyu v'choshech al p'nei sahayim until b'yamer Elokim yehi or refers to the light of Torah. With the Torah illuminates for us, the Torah gives us the ability to elevate Eretz, that it should not be toyhu v'avoyu choshech and tahayim. The first Jew receives his first tzivui, lech lecha me'artzecha mi'moladetecha mi'beis avicha. Leave the artzius of your family, of your father, of your past. But he doesn't tell Avraham to leave artzius totally. He says, el ha'oretz asher areka. I want you to deal with Eretz, but in a different way. I want you to elevate the artzius, not like the goyim. There are actually two types of goyim. There are goyim also who are spiritual, but they say in order to be spiritual, you have to totally separate. But those who don't believe deal with the physical world just because it's enjoyable. That's all. They eat and drink in order to satisfy their desires. They don't elevate the artzius, and Hashem is telling Avraham Avinu, Lech lecha me'artzicha el ha'oretz ha'sha'arekah. The Oyer HaMeir, one of the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov, translates that which the Gemara says, that Eretz Yisrael is gavoya mikol ha'aretzos. So he says, the Eretz of a Yisrael, the artzius, the dealing with the material world of a Yisrael is gavoya, is far greater mikol ha'aretzos from all the artzius of the rest of the world. The rest of the world doesn't understand the concept of elevating Gashmius. They view Gashmius as bad. You got to either you have to stay away from it, or just if you're in it, then enjoy it and just be involved with it for its own purpose. But a yid uses gashmius to elevate himself and to elevate the gashmius and to be mahapech the gashmius to ruchnius, which is the idea of Eretz Kena'an becoming Eretz Yisrael. One of the titles that we received upon receiving the Torah was Va'atem Tihiyu Li Mamleches Koyhanim. What does it mean? Hashem wanted us to be Koyhanim. Not everyone is a Koyhan. The Kahuna L'Chayra priesthood is only for Koyhanim. And the Pasuk says, Atem Tihiyu Li Mamleches Koyhanim. So there is the interpretation that originally it was intended that everyone be a Koyhan. But another idea is Kahuna means elevating the Artzius. There's a very interesting medrash in Parshas Tetzava when Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to take Aaron and to inaugurate it into the kahuna. Ve'ata hakrev elecha es Aaron achicha. So it says, Heira le'Moshe ma'oy. Moshe was very upset about it. So the medrash says, Hashem said to Moshe, I gave you the Torah. Why are you upset? So all the Mefarshim ask, what is the answer? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu upset? So there's a sefer called Chain Toiv from one of the Talmidei HaBaal Shem. So he writes that Moshe Rabbeinu was upset because Moshe Rabbeinu also wanted to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to be the Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu also wants Kahuna. So Hashem answers him, no, Moshe Rabbeinu, you... First of all, you yourself should understand why I gave you the Torah and not to Malachim. I gave you the Torah. That's the answer that the Medrash is giving, because Malachim don't deal with the physical world. If you're a Kohen, you have to deal with the physical world. That's what the Kohanim do. As the Gemara says on the Pasuk, V'ochlu oisim ashekupar bohem, Kohanim oichlim ubailim miskaprim. The Kohanim eat, and those who bring the carbon receive atonement. Meaning, your person can eat and elevate his eating, that his eating can actually lead to a kapara, elevating gashmius. That's what the kohanim do. That's the avodah of a kohen, not to separate from the world, but to elevate the gashmius. Moshe Rabbeinu had nothing to do with that. And the reason for that is, which is another whole shmuz, Moshe Rabbeinu was totally lemaila min ha'teva. Moshe Rabbeinu had absolutely no dealings with gashmius at all after the giving of the Torah. The Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to tell Klal Yisrael, Shuvu lachem le'ohaleichem, all of you go back home now, you can go back and be with your wives. But you, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, Va'ata poi amoid imodi, you stay with me. And that's how Moshe Rabbeinu learned out, that he is not to go back to his wife, that he had to separate from his wife. And the Kamarna writes, many other tzaddikim, that it wasn't only that he separated from. He separated from all gashmias for the rest of his life. Either Torah says he didn't eat for 40 days and nights. He never ate again. Moshe was an onav, so Moshe didn't want to write that. So Moshe only wrote that he didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. But really, he never ate again. If you're going to ask, it's impossible to go for 40 days and nights without eating either. So if he can do that, he can go for the rest of his life without eating. So Moshe Rabbeinu never ate, and it's actually mashmer from the Rambam like that. The Rambam in Hilchas Deis says that Moshe Rabbeinu piresh min ha'isha u'min ha'doimeloi. What does the Rambam mean? He separated from a wife, from a woman, and from anything similar. What is anything similar? What does that mean? He separated from Gashmias. He was totally removed. So Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you cannot be a Kohen, because as great as Kohanim are, Kohanim have to still deal with Gashmius. Kahuna means to elevate Gashmius. You're higher than that. Moshe Rabbeinu, in that respect, was like a Malach. And therefore Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you cannot be a Kohen. That's how the Chayin Toiv explains this Medrash, and that could be what it means. Va'atem tihiyu limamleches kohanim, that Hashem wants everyone to be a Kohen, meaning everyone has to be like a Kohen, that has to eat and has to deal with the physical world, but to elevate it. And this was the Tos of the Meraglim. And this is the connection to Shavuos. The Gemara says, Hakol moedim ba'atzeres debi'ina nami lochem. Everyone agrees that on Shavuos there has to be lochem. That means the Torah was given that you should deal with lochem, you should deal with that which you need to live. Your personal, physical, the physical parts of your life also have to be permeated with Torah. The Torah has to affect your gashmius, lochem, that which is for you. What you have to do in your physical world is also part of Torah. The Torah teaches you how to elevate your lochem. And in fact, the Kedushas Tzion, that was the Baba Rebbe who was killed in the war, Hashem Yinkum Damai, so he brings out an interesting idea in his first section on Shavuos, that there are three lochems. There's the Usfartem lochem mimocharas HaShabbos. So we start counting Sfira. The Pasuk says Usfartem lochem. You should count for yourselves. Then there's the Gemara Hakol Moedim Ba'atzeres Debi'ina Nami Lochem. And then the Pasuk in Va'eschanan, after the Torah was given, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael, Shuvu Lochem Le'ohaleichem, that everyone should go back to their tents. So he says that there's a Mesoira that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, the Baal Shem Tov, whose Yahrzeit was this past Shavuos, who was very into, by the way, Agav, the Baal Shem Tov, the Shita of the Baal Shem Tov, the Shita of Chassidus was to elevate Gashmias, not to separate from Gashmias, but to elevate the Gashmias. That's a very, very important part of Torah's Chassidus, starting from the Baal Shem Tov. Really, he didn't start it. It's really what the Gemara is saying. Hakol Moedim Ba'atzeres Debi'in Anami Lachem. But he emphasized this, the Avodah of elevating the Gashmias. So the Baal Shem Tov said that we say in the Ribbono Shel Olam, after we say Sfira, and today would be the end of the eighth week of Sfira. Okay, there are only 7 weeks, obviously, but Shavuos is the eighth week. We say Kedei L'Tahareinu, the purpose of counting Sfira is Kedei L'Tahareinu Miklipoy Zeinu, in order to purify us from all the shells, from all the impurities. So the Baal Shem Tov said, where do you see that in the Pasuk Usfartem Lochem? So he said, Lochem stands for Kedei L'Tahareinu Miklipoy Zeinu. The purpose of Sfira is that we should purify ourselves from our klipos, from the tumah. So the Kedushas Tzion said, that's the three lochems. There's the Avodah of Sfira, Usfartem Lochem, Kedei L'Tahareinu Miklipoy Zeinu. Then on Shavuos, of course, even when Sfira is over, Hakol Moedim, Debat Saris Nami Lochem, don't think it's over, you got to continue, Kedei L'Tahareinu Miklipoy Zeinu. And even after that, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to tell Klal Yisrael, Shuvu Lochem L'Ohaleichem, the Lochem, which stands for Kedei L'Tahareinu Miklipoy Zeinu, continue, even after Yom Tov, after Shavuos, after the Yemei HaShlumim, continue constantly the Avodah of Kedei L'Tahareinu Miklipoy Zeinu. That's what the Kedushas Tzion says. Based on what we're saying here, we can give a different kavana here, and that is the idea of the Avodah of Lochem. The Avodah of Sfira is to be Mekadesh and be Metaher, the Lochem, the physical world, that which is yours, that which has to do with your body, eating, drinking, and the like. That everything that we do in the physical world should be elevated. Usfarta miloshen sapir, sapphire, a stone, a shining stone. We have to shine, as mentioned weeks ago when we started talking about Sfira, the Avodah of elevating the Gashmias, refining our character traits, removing or elevating the animal behavior. That's Usfarta lochem. On Shavuos, again, Hakol Moedim Ba'atzeres Debi'ina Nami Lochem. When we're finished counting Sfira and it's Shavuos, doesn't mean that we have to separate from Gashmias. Now we have a higher level of elevating Gashmias. And then after that, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael, Shuvu Lochem Le'ohaleichem. This Avodah of elevating the Lochem, bring now back home, wherever you are, wherever you go, continue doing so. However, you, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ve'ata Poy Amoidi Modi. You stay with me. And this perhaps could be what was bothering Miriam at the end of the previous parasha. What was bothering Miriam at the end of the previous parasha was, she understood, and so did Aaron, who is the Kohen, that a Yid has to elevate the Gashmius, not separate from it. So it bothered them, why is Moshe Rabbeinu leaving his wife? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu being poyraged from Gashmius? They didn't hear that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shuvu lochem lo'ohaleichem, is only everyone else, but v'ata poyamoydi modi. Pe'el pe'adaber voy, Rashi brings down here. That Moshe Rabbeinu says to Miriam and to Aaron, don't you know that I told him? And essentially, Rashi quotes the pasuk here. Leich emor lohem shuvu lochem lo'ohaleichem v'ata poyamoydi modi. Meaning you, Miriam and Aaron, and everyone else in Klal Yisrael has to continue the avoida of lochem, hakol moedim ba'atzeres to be no nami lochem, usfartem lochem, the avoida of elevating the gashmis. But Moshe Rabbeinu was on a different level. Moshe Rabbeinu was beyond that. That they didn't understand. When Klal Yisrael sees that Miriam is punished, and Miriam has to be exiled, she has to leave the machana for a week, vatisoga Miriam mechutz lamachana shivas yomim. So many understood or thought mistakenly that Miriam is wrong. Miriam had no right to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu that way, and that Moshe is right, meaning that that's the proper avodah. The proper avodah is to separate from Gashmius. And that's the connection to this parasha, because the Meraglim were Kedoshe Elyon. The Meraglim were the Neshamas of the Shvatim, the Arizal says. The Meraglim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, at least in the Gemara, in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, will have Olam Haba. And Rabbi Eliezer says, the pasuk isfuli chasidoi karsei brisi alei zovach is going on the Dor HaMidbar, it's going on the Meraglim. So even though, according to Rabbi Akiva, they don't have Olam Haba, those who say mean because their chelik in Olam Haba is beyond any other chelik in Olam Haba, even Al Pipshat, that according to Rabbi Akiva, they don't have Olam Haba, according to Rabbi Eliezer, they do. And perhaps this is also the smichus haparshios, the juxtaposition here between Meraglim and Miriam. Miriam was in a situation that l'cha'ira there was no hope for her. There was no way out of her predicament. As Aaron says to Moshe Rabbeinu, there's nothing we can do here. You can't be metahir her. You can't tell her, you can't release her from her tzaras because you're related to her. A korav cannot be the kohen. So what's going to be with her here? There's no way out. Others say it just like if there's no kayin to be metahir, there's also no kayin to be metameir either. But Rashi brings over here that Moshe Rabbeinu is approached by Aaron and he says, Al Nasihi Kameis, if you don't heal her with tefillah, who's going to be maskir? Who's going to be metahir? I can't look at her because I'm related and the karav can't see the goyim. There is no other kayin in the world. So Moshe davens for her, Kael Nor Rafan Allah, and she's healed. And it's interesting because Rashi tells us Miriam, the Gemara in Saita, that this was schar for Miriam because she waited for 1 hour. She waited while Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the Yor, so she had Mesiras Nefesh for Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's not shayach that because she spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu, and she didn't really mean to speak against him, as we know. She didn't mean Gnai. So although she was punished for a week, it's not shayach that she should be punished more than that, when she was the one who was Maisa Nefesh from Moshe Rabbeinu. She was the one who stood there to make sure that Moshe Rabbeinu was taken out of the water safely and so on. So Miriam represents Be'emes. Everything in the Torah we know is eternal. Miriam represents the Jew that it seems there's no hope for. She has Tzara'as, and there's no one who could heal her. There's no one who she can go to. There are no Kehanim. A Jew in Ikvus of the Mashiach, that there's no one to go to. We used to have tzaddikim that were able to be metahir and mekadesh, people who went to them and elevate them and mesakein them no matter what sins they did. We don't have that today. So there are Jews today, Nebuch, who think that they're wrong, but they think that they're doomed. There's nothing that can be done for them. So the Torah teaches us here that that's not true. Miriam, despite her predicament, and it was impossible for anyone to be metahir her from her tzara'as, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalav for her, keil nor afan olah, and she was healed ki'ilu loy hoya, as if it never happened. It was like as if retroactively there was never any tzaras at all. Miriam was a tzadekus, but she represents the door of our door of merirus. She represents a door where there are those who think that there's no tikkun for them and there's no way out. There is a way out. There's tefillah that even in our generation it's possible. So Miriam represents those yidin. And in our parsha, we have the Meraglim and the Dor HaMidbar that all died out here. Sham Yitamu v'Sham Yamusu, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no Olam Haba for them. The fact that the Torah connects the Meraglim to Miriam means that there's a tikkun for them also. Even if it seems like there can't be. What do you mean? The Mishnah says there's no Olam Haba for them. There is. There's a tikkun for them too. And as the Arizal says there, when it's Galgal later on, eventually built the Yidach Mimenu Nidach. So what was the toys of the Meraglim? The Meraglim, based on the whole Maisa of Miriam, the Meraglim understood, and so did the rest of the Dor, and most of the Dor, were mistaken, but they believed that the Avoida, the proper Avoida, is to separate from Gashmis. The whole idea of going to Eretz Yisrael, which as the Baal HaTanya and Lakutei Torah is Mayruch on this, is because they didn't want to lower themselves, they didn't want to go and deal with the outside world. Here in the Midbar, they're surrounded by clouds, they only eat mun, they only drink Be'era Shel Miriam, they don't have to fight any wars, they don't have to see any Goyim, they don't have to see anything. Learn Torah day and night, perfect world, utopia. It's Yemois HaMashiach, it's perfect, Gan Eden. Even why should we go to Eretz Yisrael? We're going to lose it all. We're not going to have the mon, we're not going to have the air, we're not going to have the clouds, we're going to have to fight wars, we're going to have to deal with goyim, we're going to have to eat normal food, lechem min ha'oretz, instead of lechem min ha'shamayim. So they wanted to stay in the Midbar for a good reason. It makes very, very good sense. Everyone asked all the kasha, how is it shayach, the whole generation, they went nuts. They were promised Eretz Yisrael for years, and now they don't want to go. Why shouldn't they want to go? Who wouldn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael? Why shouldn't they want to go? What's going on here? What, they'd rather stay in the Midbar? Yes, they'd rather stay in the Midbar because here they're totally involved in Yonim Ruchniyim. They don't have to deal with the Gashmiyistik world. They don't have to deal with Lochem. That was their mistake. Hakol Moedim Ba'atzeres Debe'ina Nami Lochem. Usfartem Lochem. Leich Emor Lohem Shuvu Lochem Lo'ohaleichem. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was told Poya Moedim Modi. Everyone else has to go out and deal with the physical world. The purpose of the Torah was given to us to elevate the Gashmi, is not to separate from it. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was actually telling them over here. Shlach lecha anoshim v'yosuru es eretz. You have to see the Yisroin. V'yosuru comes from the word v'yisroin eretz v'akoyl hu, it says in Koheles. To see the Yisroin, see the advantage of dealing with eretz. By them it says v'yachperu, from a lashon cherpa. They thought it was a shanda, a cherpa, to have to deal with Gashmi, to lower ourselves. Here we're learning day and night. We're in Koyel the whole day. We daven long tefillahs. We hardly eat. We only eat the mon. We're total ruchnias. What's the havamina we should want to leave this? Why should we want to go anywhere else? Why should we want to have to work for a living, plant and plow and cultivate and deal with the outside world, have to fight nations, lamed aleph melachim, see goyim, look at the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, look at the Gashmias there, look at the restaurants, look at the Taivas Achil over there in Eretz Canaan. We're going to fall very quickly. Why should we do this? So the whole concept over here, at least Beruchni, is the concept that we see in this parasha that Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he himself was purged from Gashmias, but he was an exception. Moshe Rabbeinu, however, says, the avoida of every yid, though, is that you have to deal with Eretz. You have to deal with Arzias. You have to turn Eretz Canaan into Eretz Yisroel. Eretz Yisroel, Govoya Mikolo Arotzois. You have to be a Mamleches Koihanim. Kahuna means elevating the Gashmias. This is the 37th parsha of Chumash, Shlach. 37 is equal to Hevel. The machlokes Hevel and Kayin, some say, was this very concept. Although the Chaira Kayin was wrong, Kayin was the murderer, Kayin kills Hevel. Hevel was poiresh from Gashmias. Hevel didn't want anything to do with the physical world. He was a royet soin. He said, the earth was cursed, I want to have nothing to do with it. And Kayin, hoya oiveit adama, Kayin cultivated the earth. It was a major machlokes between Kayin and Hevel. Kayin wasn't just this arch murderer. If he was this murderer, how did Hashem speak to him afterwards? Hashem talks to Cain. Cain is a Navi. Hashem talks to Cain. Since when does Hashem speak to murderers? And in order to be Zeichet to Hashras Hashchin, one has to be on a very, very high level. So even though we view Cain as this evil, first murderer in history, the evil man Cain, Cain Lamaisa was a Ish Ruchni Ma'id. He was the son of Adam Arishayim. Cain believed that Hevel had no purpose in this world. If you don't elevate the Gashmias, you don't belong here. The Avoida of separating totally, that's in the future. That's in the Moshe HaMashiach. It's interesting. Moshe is the Gilgal of Hevel. Kiyodua, Moshe is Hevel. As the Arizal said, Hevel came back again as Moshe Rabbeinu, Kayin was Yisroi. That's another discussion. So this is the 37th parasha of Chumash. The Torah of the Meraglim was the Torah of Hevel. That they believed that one has to totally separate from Artzius. They claimed that Eretz Eicheles Yoishvehohi, the earth, the Artzius, consumes its inhabitants. Meaning if a person deals with Artzius, with Gashmius, he's going to become consumed with it, which is true, it could happen. There is a risk, there's no question that it's a very risky thing. But that's what Hashem wants. That's what the Torah was given to us. For the Torah was given to us, with the Torah we can take the risk. With the Torah, if we follow the directives of the Torah, we don't have to worry. That's what Kolev and Yehoshua say. But don't worry, we'll be able to conquer the Artzius. We'll be able to overcome the temptations. Because we have a Torah now, we'll be able to do it. They said no. And Kolev adds, Toivah ha'oretz ma'oid ma'oid. Artzius can be very, very good. Ma'oid two times. Dealing with Artzius, elevating Gashmius, that's the whole tachlis, the whole kavana of Brias Ha'olam, Liyos Loi, Dira V'Tachtonim. The whole purpose of why Hashem created the world is that it be a dwelling place down below in this earthly, in this planet Earth, this physical, materialistic world. That's where Hashem wants to dwell. And the only way it could happen is through the Avodah of Torah and Mitzvahs of elevating the Gashmius. And that was Zevulun, as we mentioned, that Sivan, according to the Arizal, is Zevulun. And Zevulun is the one who deals with Gashmi. Zevulun is the businessman. L'cha'ira, what is Zevulun doing in Sivan? Sivan is the month of Matan Torah. Matan Torah should be Yisachar. No, on the contrary. Sivan is Zevulun to teach us that the Torah has to permeate the Gashmis. The Torah doesn't mean that a person totally separates from this world. That's not what the Kavana was. There are times that we do. There are times that we have to separate. But the purpose of Torah was not, the purpose of Torah was to elevate the Gashmias. And that's why right after the parasha of the Meraglim, one of the topics is the mitzvah of Chala. Dabar el b'nei Yisrael v'yomarta aleihem v'voyachem el ha'oretz asher ani mevi eschem shama. V'hoya ba'acholchem milechem ha'oretz, the pasuk says, when you eat from the bread of the earth, Tarimu Sruma La Hashem, for Hashem asks, what else can it be? Where else does bread come from? Why does it have to say V'hoya ba'acholchem milechem ha'oretz? It should say V'hoya ba'acholchem lechem. That's the diuk. They said, let's stay here in the midbar and eat lechem min hashamayim. The man is lechem min hashamayim. According to one opinion, that was the bracha they made. Hamoitzi lechem min hashamayim. And they, in fact, they were so used to it when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't believe that bread actually grows from the ground. Because for 40 years, all they saw was bread coming from Shamayim. Says the Torah, no. V'hoya ba'acholchem milechem ha'oretz tafka. Tarimu srumo la'Hashem. When you eat normal physical bread that grows from the ground after you sowed, you planted, and you plowed, and you cultivated. Tarimu srumo la'Hashem. You elevate the Gashmias la'Hashem. And who receives that challah? The Kohen. The Kohen gets the challah because the Kohen, again, is the one who has the avodah of elevating the Gashmias. Kohanim oichlim u'bailim miskaprim, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu cannot be the Kohen. V'hoya ba'acholchem milechem ha'oretz. The word v'hoya has a zokev gadol on it. It's a skifa gadoila. V'hoya ba'acholchem milechem ha'oretz. Skifa gadoila. It's a great accomplishment. The greatest accomplishment is when a person elevates gashmius. More so than when a person is totally separated. And that we see from Chala. When we turn to the last pasuk of the parasha, the last pasuk, which is in the parasha of Tzitzis, and we connect the beginning of the parasha with the end of the parasha. Famous pasuk we say it every single day. Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeitzi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Lihiyos Lochem Leilokim. What does this mean? Hashem says, I took you out of Mitzrayim to be for you a God. They should have said, Lihiyos Elokechem. What's the Lihiyos Lochem Leilokim? That the whole goal is that we elevate the Lochem, that if the Lochem should become Elokus, meaning that we should elevate the Gashmias should become Ruchnias. Person eats breakfast, l'shem shamayim. He eats breakfast that he should have koyach to serve Hashem that morning. He eats lunch, if he eats lunch too, to serve Hashem in the afternoon. He eats supper so that he can go out to learn at night. Whatever he, any act, he exercises, he runs a mile, whatever. He's doing it to be healthy, to feel good, so that he should be able to learn and daven with kavana. He sleeps, so he should be able to feel better the next day. We are human, so we have to feed and nourish the body, but we do it with a different kavana. We don't do it the same way the goy does it. By the goy, it's just lachem and that's it. The goal of the yid is liyos lachem leilaykim, the lachem, lechem or lachem, shuvu lachem la'o lechem. Hakom moidim ba'atzaris to be inonami lachem. The lachem has to be for elaykim, for a higher purpose. Ani Hashem aleikechem asher yitzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, they don't do that. In Mitzrayim, in America, Golus America, it's a very hard place here in America to talk like this. But here in America, everyone is only into having a good time. Every block, another restaurant, a Chinese, a Japanese, whatever you want today. You could eat any Michael you want, and it's glatt kosher with all hidurim. So Gashmius, in America is known for its Gashmius and its Chumrius. That's the Avoida here. Avoida over here is, with the Torah, we can... Doesn't mean we have to go to every restaurant, but it means we can enjoy the Gashmius, but that the Gashmius should be for a higher purpose. The purpose of the Gashmius is to elevate it to Ruchnius. Leaving Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim there's no such thing, in America there's no such thing, by the Goyim in Mitzrayim, in Menametzar, in the world of Mitzrayim, Gashmius is L'shem Gashmius, and the whole Avodah of the Yid is Liyos Lochem Leilokim. Perhaps this is also the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Yehoshua Benun. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu Yikra Moshe Lehoshea Benun Yehoshua. So Rashi says, Hispalel Olav, he prays for him, that Hashem should save you from the plot of the Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu already senses that something can go wrong. Because already there was a split in Klal Yisrael, two different drachim. Should we separate from Gashmias or should we elevate Gashmias? Yehoshua ben Nun was very much like Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Yehoshua ben Nun na'ar lo yomesh mitoich ha'oyel. So he learned day and night, that's all he did. He hardly was Isaac and Gashmias at all. That's why Moshe was afraid that Yehoshua will fall for this. Because Yehoshua was closer to the Shita of the Meraglim, closer to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu himself is Pirish from Gashmias. But Moshe is different, only he can. That's why Moshe is afraid, Moshe is worried that Yehoshua will fall for it. Like Yehoshua might even say, my own Rebbe this separates from Gashmias. So of course, that the Meraglim are right. Especially Yochid v'Rabim Alocha k'Rabim, the only one who doesn't agree with them is Kolev ben Yefuna. Moshe wasn't worried about Kolev. Kolev wasn't as separate from Gashmias as Yehoshua was. So Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalef for Yehoshua. Koy Yehoshiach me'atzas miraglim. And that's why when they come back, both of them stress the avoda of dealing with the eretz. This parasha is the parasha of Eretz Yisrael. Shlach is the parasha of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, the Haftorah talks about another set of spies, but they followed the directives of Yehoshua ben Nun. That was Kolev and Pinchas, and they didn't go wrong, and they meet up with Rachav, who later marries Yehoshua ben Nun. And at the end, Vayomru el Yehoshua, ki nosan Hashem biyodeinu es kol ha'oretz. Hashem has given in our hands the land. V'gam namoigu kol yoshvei ha'oretz biponeinu. We can conquer the land. We can conquer the artsius. This Haftorah is where it's actually taking place. The Haftorah, which is the Hashlamah to the Parashah, ki yodua, the Haftorah tells us that later it did happen. Finally, Klal Yisrael do go into Eretz Yisrael. They go with Yehoshua ben Nun, the one who did not follow the Meraglim. And the Chiddush, why you might say, well, of course Yehoshua didn't follow the Meraglim. Moshe davened for him. Moshe davened for him, but for him it was very hard. Yehoshua had to come onto the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, not to fall for the plot of the Meraglim, because he was so close to that idea, because he was so separated from this world, and he could have easily fallen prey to the Meraglim. But he conquers. He works on himself not to listen to them. He's trying so hard to follow the directives of his Rebbe. And it's very difficult because his Rebbe's telling us, his Rebbe's saying you have to go into Eretz Yisrael and you have to deal with the Artzius, and his own Rebbe doesn't. His own Rebbe is Mufrash. His own Rebbe is separated from the world. So for Yahushua, this was a tremendous Nisayim. Yahushua could have had a lot of Sveikas in Amunah. Many have Sveikas in Tzadikim. And they say, Tzadikim tell us to do this, but yet they don't. Or Tzadik says, you should deal this way, but yet they don't deal this way. Yahushua had tremendous Sveikas, L'cha'ira. Yahushua was wondering, why is Moshe Rabbeinu telling us to deal with Arzi as he himself does not? And Yahushua himself was more close to the Shita of the Meraglim. Moshe is davening for Yahushua for that reason, but Yahushua had a tremendous dispute in himself. He didn't know, he was in a conflict, he didn't know exactly what to do. But he conquered the Yetzer Hara, and he follows his Rebbe totally to the T, even though he didn't understand it at all. And he was there for Zeicha, to be the one who takes us into Eretz Yisrael. He's the one who takes us, and yet later he's not afraid to send Meraglim himself. Vayishlach Yahushua ben Nun Anoshim Meraglim Cheirish Lemer. And this time, it was to conquer the land. It wasn't to come back and give any report. It was literally to conquer the land, to overpower the Arzius, to elevate the Arzius, which we see in the Haftarah here. Therefore, the connection to Shavuos is very clear. Very, very clear. Because the whole concept of Matan Torah was that right after the Torah was given, this is what it was supposed to be, immediately right after Matan Torah, which lasted for almost a year. Matan Torah, as we read in last week's parasha, it was actually the Shir Chumash of the second day of Shavuos. Vayisu Mehar Hashem. When did they finally leave Har Sinai? On Chof Iyar. So they left Har Sinai a year minus 10 days after they came. They came there Rosh Chodesh Sivan. They left Chof Iyar a year later. Where were they going? Says Rashi in the previous parasha. They were going to Eretz Yisrael. That means right after the giving of the Torah, the goal was to enter the land, to go into the Eretz, to deal with the Arzius, to elevate the Gashmius. That's the whole purpose of the Torah. The Torah was given the Be'ina Nami Lochem, Usfartem Lochem, Liyos Lochem Leilokim, Shuvu Lochem Le'ohaleichem. And at the same time, as the Baal Shem Tov says, Lochem is Rosh Tevis Kedei L'tahir Miklipoiseinu. That's the way to be Matar ourselves from the klipos and the tumah by elevating the gashmis, removing the nitzutzei kedusha that are in the dvarim gashmim, as the svarim talk about. One of the questions that Moshe Rabbeinu asks the malachim in Shemayim was klum masa umatan yesh beinechem. Do you malachim deal in commerce? Do you sell and buy things? The Torah talks about chayshan nishpat. There's no masa umatan by you, right? So the Torah couldn't have been given to you. Svarim translate this, that masa, why is business called masa umatan? Interesting question. Masa means to lift up, and matan means to give. What does that mean, lift and give? Why is business called lift and give? They should have said, klum schayra yesh b'neichem, business. What does masa umatan mean? So the Svarim translated based on this, that when a yid is oisek in gashmias, because of Chet Eitz Hadas, as the Svarim will tell us, all the different sparks of Kedusha have fallen in different parts of the world, and the Avodah of dealing with the Gashmias is to elevate the Gashmias and to remove the sparks of Kedusha, the Nitzutze Kedusha, and to give them back to where they came. That's Masa Umatan. Masa means to lift up the sparks of Kedusha that are in the Imke HaKlipos, Kedil Tarenu Mikliposeinu, Masa Umatan, and to give them back to Hashem. That's the avoid of elevating the Gashmias, the Dira B'tachtoinim, and Malachim can't do that. Only human beings can do that. And only a person who has the Yetzirah, a person who can deal with Arzius, can do that. So even the Meraglim say, Bonu el ha'oretz asher shalachtonu v'gam zabas cholav udvashi v'zeh piriyah. Yes, it's a beautiful avoid to deal with the Arzius. Cholav udvash, yeah, if a person can do it, it's gevaldik. But then they said, Efes, but, ki az ha'am hayoshev ba'aretz. It's too difficult. The people there are very, very strong, meaning the gashmias is too dangerous to deal with. It's impossible. We've been in a situation of ruchnis for so long now, we're going to fall very quickly if suddenly we go from this transition from ruchnis to gashmias. Amalek Yoshev Ve'eretz HaNegev Ve'achiti Ve'hayavusi Ve'ha'emoyri. There's no way we're going to be able to deal with this. And immediately Kolev quiets them and says, no, Oloi Nalav Yerash Nois Ki'yochel Nuchala, we'll be able to do it. And they say, Loi Nuchala Alus, we cannot do it. And there's a whole machlokes going. You can imagine, everyone's looking and you see 12 Gedoilim here. 10 Gedoilim say no and 2 say yes. So you have Yochel V'Rabba Malachi K'Rabba. It was a big Nisayin. Who do you listen to? really can't blame. It's, you do what Tzadikim said, who were neshamas that remembered. Yismach Moshe said he remembers he was in the time of Kairach. He was a neshama of someone who lived in the time of Kairach, and he said, and he said that I had no idea who was right, Kairach and Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't like as if it was clear. You couldn't tell who was right. Kairach was older than Moshe Rabbeinu. He said in the time of the Meraglim too, it wasn't so posh. We have to learn these stories with a different pair of glasses. You have to read this differently. It's not just stand like everyone went crazy here and they all were chaitim and that. These were very great people. This is a dor deya, a dor of mevakshim, and they really felt that staying in the midbar and learning day and night is what Hashem wants. But as soon as they heard that's not what Hashem wants, they realized they were wrong. It's interesting, if you think about it, the punishment they got is what they wanted. When do you ever find such a thing? They want to stay in the midbar 40. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, you're staying in the midbar. What's the punishment? It's perfect. Everything's great. That it's not. You see how great they were. The moment that they realize that it's not Ratzon Hashem, so then they don't want to stay anymore. Then they want to go. But now it's too late. That's their Einish. The Einish is they're going to have to stay. You don't want to deal with Artsius. You don't want to deal with Gashmias. Aliyah can only happen when a person goes through challenges and tests and trials and tribulations. Otherwise, there's no Aliyah. It's not possible for a person to be Oyla Lamayla if he doesn't deal with the challenges in this world. A Malach is not called a Mahalech. A Malach is not an Oyla. Only a Yid. That's why they stress here. Olay Nalev, Yorashnoisa. And they say, no, Loy Nuchalalois. We don't want to go up. We're happy with the status quo. We'll just stay here. If we stay here, there's no Aliyah. If you stay in the Midbar, you can't grow in your ruchnius if everything is given to you and there's no trials and challenges. That was the whole machlokes here. And finally they agreed, but then they had to stay. And the pasuk says here at the end that right before Revi, Amaleki v'hakanani yoshev ba'emek, mochar penu usa'u lochem hamidbar. What does it mean, lochem? The Amaleki and the Kanani are dwelling in the valley. Tomorrow turn around and travel for yourselves to the desert, Derech Yamsuf. So based on what we're saying here, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling him, you lost out on the Avodah of Lochem. The Avodah of Lochem would have been yours. Machar Penu Su'u Lochem. Lochem is going to leave now. You're not going to be able to deal with the Avodah of the Lochem. The Liyos Lochem Le'loikim. Leich Emar Lohem Shuvu Lochem Le'oholeichem. You don't want it? That's your punishment. You're not going to deal with it. You're not going to be Zeichet to the special Avodah of elevating the Gashmias. But the next generation was Zoicha, the children, the Tapchem Asher Amartem Lavaz Yihyeh, they were Zoicha, Yehoshua, Binun, and Kolev, of course, Choyu Minho Anoshim, they had to live. Yehoshua and Kolev had to live and outlive that entire generation and enter Eretz Yisrael because they were Maskim, they passed the test. So there's no reason that they should be punished. They had to stay in the desert together with everyone else, but they survived, they lived, they went into Eretz Yisrael, and they were able, Lasur Es Haaretz, to see the Mailet, to see the Yisrael, to see the advantage of dealing with the Arzias in the next generation. This is the connection between this parasha this year and the Hemshech of Shavuos, which really ends tonight. Some don't say Tachan until today, some don't even say Tachan tomorrow, because Sveik of the Yomer, so they don't say Yid Gimel either, some never say Tachan. So this Avodah of the Yemea Tashlum, which is interesting too, that the Tashlumen of Shavuos falls out in weekdays, in Yemei HaChoyl, unlike the Tashlumen of Pesach and the Tashlumen of Sukkot that fall out on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, the Tashlumen of Shavuos is dafka in regular mundane weekdays, because that's the Avodah of Shavuos, the Avodah of Torah. The whole purpose of the Torah was to elevate the Choyl, that we should be Maila the Choyl al Taras HaKodesh. That's why the Tashlumen of Shavuos falls out in the Yemei HaChoyl, and this year especially in the week of Shalach, which the Parsha teaches us, the whole Avodah here, the whole story here is to teach us the Maila, how great it is that a Yid is involved in Gashmias. Of course, we shouldn't get carried away. This doesn't mean a person should eat all day, obviously. The person should be Maila Gashmias. I'm going to this restaurant, and these sparks of Kedusha, let's be honest, that's not what we're talking about over here. Obviously, that's not what we mean. But what we're learning here about is that the Avodah of the Yid is not to totally separate and have absolutely nothing to do with the Gashmias of this world, but the Gashmias that we are involved in should be for a higher purpose. So the parasha teaches us what the whole purpose of Torah is. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Liyos Lachem Le'Elokim. We should be zeichet to use the guidelines of this parasha to follow and follow Moshe Rabbeinu, to follow what the Gedolim tell us, what the Tzadikim tell us in every generation, is Pashtusa, the Moshe B'chol Dora V'Dora. And when one follows the Moshe Rabbeinu of the door, a person does not fall. When one follows the directives of Moshe Rabbeinu, as we see in this week's parasha, even if he has kashas on Moshe Rabbeinu, and he has questions, and it doesn't look like he's doing what I'm doing, why is he different? Yehoshua ben Nun did what had to be done, a yid has to do what has to be done. And we should be zeichet haka that this avoda should bring us to the ultimate goal, to bring us to the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi, which first, if when Mashiach will come first, at the beginning, will still be Isaac and Gashmi, as Ein Bein, there still will be this avoda before Tchias HaMeisim, before Olam Haba, and then the avoda, what the Meraglim wanted, will taka be in Olam Haba. Then it'll be like what Hevel wanted, what the Meraglim wanted. It'll be Kulay Ruchni, Olam Haba will be Kulay Ruchni. But before that, we have to still be Isaac in the avoda of Gashmius, and that's chus of elevating the Gashmius, will be zeichet to the Beis Hamikdash HaShlishi. And to enter Eretz Yisrael, like this parasha talks about, we'll actually go into Eretz Yisrael. Kisavoyu el ha'oretz, the voyachem el ha'oretz. One time after another, the Torah talks to us here about entering Eretz Yisrael. Kisavoyu el eretz moshe v'seichem, the voyachem el ha'oretz. As Rashi says here, biser lahem, he was mevaser them, sheyichnusu la'oretz. Even after the whole parasha talks to us about how the Meraglim were punished, and the Dor Midbar were told they're not going into Eretz Yisrael, the Torah is mevaser them, they are going into Eretz Yisrael. So what's going on? Either the next generation, or perhaps it's a hint that they're also going. The Dor HaMidbar is also going together with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Zohar says that Moshe Rabbeinu will come back, will have Tchias HaMeisim, and take his entire Dor with him. The entire Dor HaMidbar that are buried in the Midbar will rise together with Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the Goyal Achrayin, Mashahoyah Husheyihiyah. It will redeem his entire Dor and take them into Eretz Yisrael. We should be zeichet to all of that very, very soon. This week, good evening. So I did what you told me. Thank you.